Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be here again. The last time that I was here preaching, I was standing in the truck out in the parking lot, and I about passed out. It was so hot. It was July 4th weekend, and it was pretty crazy. I call him Papa Lee came and rescued me and brought me water. I was about ready to pass out. So, but that was a while ago, and now we're all back in and hugging each other, shaking everybody's hands, and it's all nice again. It is good to be here. I really want you to know I appreciated Pastor Jonathan reading the scripture this morning. You're a part of the ministry in Mexico. Your tithes and offerings support missionaries all over the world, and we're a part of that. And you get to be a part of the gospel message going out to Tijuana, Mexico, and around the world. Mexico Caravan Ministries, I'm not going to really talk about it very much. You can come back and talk to Maggie and myself. We'll be in the back. Mexico Caravan Ministries is a mobilization ministry, meaning that we bring high school, college, and adults down and mobilize them for missions. We teach on missions, God's heartbeat around the world. And just real quick, know that there's about 7 billion people in the world. And out of that 7 billion, they say there's 2 billion Christians. Out of that 2 billion Christians, they say there are only 1 billion that are really on fire Bible-believing believers. The rest are nominal. That leaves 5 billion people that don't know Jesus Christ. 5 billion. And out of that 5 billion, whoa, and there's my water. I guess I won't drink that. Next time I'll ask for a bottle. But anyway, 5 billion, out of that, half of that 5 billion have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what we talk about at Mexico Caravan Ministries. Encourage people to think about the 2.5 billion that have no access to the gospel. That needs to shake our world a little bit. And that's what Caravan does. And we get to be in Mexico because we build simple structures for the poorest of poor in Tijuana. Then we visit homes of that are called Casa Hogares. They're basically foster care situations. And we go love on kids. And then we work in a place called Esperanza, which is a little shanty town outside the dump. And that's some of the things that we get to do. That's what you get to be involved in through supporting us and being a part of us. Maggie and I are up here all week. We're staying over in the villas for the next week. I'm preaching here today, preaching at Church of the Woods next week. And next Saturday, I'll just at Jill and Dave Odie's home from right after you get done here at from 9 to 3. Don't miss that. Be a part of that with John and Sarah. And John used to be a little squirrely junior high kid hanging out at my house quite a bit until I kicked him out. No, I'm just joking. And it's just incredible to see what God's doing in his life and leading them to Guatemala. So be here Saturday with that. And then right after that, from 3 to 6, there's an open house over at Dave and Jill's for Maggie and myself. You can ask all the questions you want about our ministry and be a part of us and seeing what's happening there. So it's open. There's snacks. There's things happening from 3 to 6 after that. So you can leave straight from here, go to Dave and Jill's, and they'll take care of you there. So we'll be there. And love being up here. Love being part of this church. Let me pray with you. Oh, one other thing. Our prayer cards are out there. You probably can't see it very well, but we're on our little scooter with our little ugly dog. And we call her the ugliest dog in the world, but she's cute. So so cute, she's ugly. But anyway, you can grab that. And then on the back is a little QR code. I don't know what QR codes are, but they're probably how Satan's taken over the world. But anyway, you can take the QR code and take a picture of that and then get our newsletter. And pretty fancy, huh? We don't even have to write the newsletter. It just pops up on the internet. So there you go. And please do that. Satan has no part of that, by the way. Anyway, just so you're wondering. Hey, let's pray and get into God's Word. You can take out your little yellow sheet. I'm going to just ask you to follow along, and I can help you fill in the blanks as we speak. Father, thank you for your love, for your mercy, and your grace. I just pray that you be with us as we open your word. Your word is so important. It's what guides us and directs us and keeps us on the right path. And so, Father, today, guide us. Use your word. Don't use a word of a man, but use your word to direct us and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you know a friend of mine, good friend of mine. He used to attend this church until he went to another country, Texas, and that's Henry Heredia. And he took off, but he used to live on the mountain and came to this church. And Henry and I are good friends, and we rode motorcycles together. And a few years ago, he rode with me to Idaho to go visit my daughter, and then we did a bunch of things back there. But we took off. I took off from Tijuana. I met him down in Yucaipa, and then we rode off from there. And our first designated stop was a place called Lighthouse, Nevada. I think that's what it's called. And there's nothing there but a casino, a McDonald's, and they had one restaurant and then a hotel. And it wasn't much to talk about. So we got there, and the next morning we're going to get up early and go on to Las Vegas and then into Bryce Canyon. That's what our plan was. So after we got there, we found out the one restaurant was closed and never to open again. And so we had McDonald's at the casino to hang out. So we lost our money at the casino. And no, we didn't bet. And then we were sitting at the hotel, and he goes, "Hey, what time do you want to get up?" And I said, "We should get up and pack up our bikes and be on the road by 6 o'clock. He goes, "Okay." So I set my alarm. We went to bed. And my alarm went off. I got up, and I'm packing everything up. And I said, "Hey, Henry, get up." I showered. I'm all awake. And he goes, "Oh, really?" And he's getting up. And so we have our bikes open, and we're packing everything back into our bikes. And then I remember Henry says, "Eddie," like sort of a gruff voice. And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "What time is it?" And I said, "Well, it's got to be around 6. My alarm went off at 5:30. And he goes, "Eddie, look at the clock." And he's sort of upset. And he goes, "You said it was time to get up. It is midnight." And somehow, I don't know what happened, but my alarm went off. It was really a practical joke against Henry. But went off at midnight, and I woke up. I showered, got ready to get on my bike and take off. And it's midnight, so we had to go back to bed and sleep for a few more hours and then got back up. But it was a he said, she said type. Or there was no she involved, but he said, they said, and type of thing. And that's what we're going to talk about today in Matthew 4, 43 through 48. And it really comes out of the Sermon on the Mount. And it talks about the Beatitudes. And if you look at that, there's 6 different things that Jesus talks about, said either Moses said or you say, but then Jesus says, "This is what I say." And we're not going to really tear apart the Beatitudes and this comment that we're going to look at today, but we're going to see a little deeper into that. What is he talking to us about? And so Matthew 5, 43 through 48, and I'll read it. "You have heard it said, love your neighbors, hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the sons of the Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." I just want to give you 4 things that I believe that come out of that scripture this morning to encourage us, to guide us, to direct us, for us to get from that scripture this morning. First of all, don't listen to the world, but listen to his word. Don't listen to the world, but listen to his word. "You have heard it say that love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." The word is so important. God's word right here is so important. We need to make time for it on a daily basis. And I don't want to be so, man, I got water all over the place. Don't want to be so dogmatic to say, man, you got to read a half an hour a day, an hour a day. Thank you. Hey, that's a good thing for napkins, aren't they? There we go. And I want to be dogmatic, but I really believe we need to make time for God's word daily. Daily. And then not only do we need to make time for it, we need to meditate on it. What is it saying to you? What's it saying to me? What does God want us to carry out in his word? And then I believe that we need to memorize it. We talk about that all the time, that, man, we have Awanas or your children's program. They're memorizing scripture all the time, right? We need to continue to do that. And King David says, man, I hide God's word in my heart. So why? So I don't sin against him. So we need to make sure that we listen not to the world, but to God's word. And that's important, saying that there. And just to remember this, the next points are that we're not of this world. We're not. It says in John 15, 19, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. We're not of this world. If we're Christians in this place today, then we're not of the world. We're different. And we're going to see that a little bit longer as we go on. And then we need to remember, we need to seek things above. Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are earth. It's so easy to get pulled into what's down here. And there's this old saying, and most of you know it, we're so earthly bound that we're no heavenly good, or we're so heavenly bound that we're no earthly good, excuse me. And we get so caught up down here, though. Man, how am I going to make my payments? How am I going to do this? How do I raise my children in the society that we're at? But we need to set our things on things above. And then the next point, and C, we need to listen to him, not the philosophy of this world. Colossians 2:8 says this, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elementary spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. I'm going to read it one more time. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, who depends on human tradition and elementary spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. We need to listen to him, not the philosophy of this world. It's so easy watching TV, watching the news, reading articles, podcasts, to get sucked into things that we don't need to be getting sucked into. Michael Bilister worked for a Bible distributor, and he worked in Europe. And it was right before World War II. Excuse me. Now I'll drink some of the water I spilled. And he had one Bible left, and he was in Poland, in this little town of Poland. And he left this one Bible with this gentleman that he shared Christ with, and that man accepted the Lord, and he had the one Bible that was in this town. And quite a few years later, after the war was almost over, Michael came back and sought this man out. In this little village, there was a group of gathering of Christians, and they only had the one Bible this whole time during the war. And what they did is they memorized scripture from this one Bible, and they shared it with each other. And so they came together in a worship service, and Michael stood up and said, would you just share a verse that you had memorized, or something from the Bible you memorized? And people started standing up and said, you only want one verse? Said many of them said, we have memorized all of the Gospels. Some said, man, we memorized all the Psalms. And so they just got up and started sharing. This is what the one Bible has done, God's word. And so just remember, don't listen to the world, but listen to his word. Make time for it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. It radically changed that little town in Poland because one Bible, one man, dropping a Bible off, and then the rest read it and memorized it and understood the gospel. The second thing is, let's remember something, continue to remember. Let's remember, excuse me, my notes are off here. Let's remember whose child you are and let it be evident to all. Let's remember whose child you are and let it be evident to all. That's Matthew 5:44. It says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain down on the righteous and the unrighteous. We need to remember whose child we are and let it be evident to the people around us. I know many of you in this room, and I know this church is really evident on the mountain, what you stand for and who you are. I hear from people, man, that church over in Twin Peaks is a solid church, godly church. Let it be evident to everybody you work with, in your schools, in the community services that you're involved in, and in the jobs that you have. Let it be evident. It needs to be evident in our action. 1 John 3:18 says this, dear children, let us love not with just words or speech, but in actions and truth. What do people see in you at your jobs and in your school? Are they seeing people that walk and talk of Christ? And then in our decisions, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Does the choices and decisions you make reflect whose child you are? What do you spend your money on? What do you spend your time with? What do people see? And the third one is, remember, it's reflected in the loyalty that we have. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We need to rely on him and daily deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Christ. Do people see that? It's a decision that is daily that we deny ourselves and pick up our cross. The third point is, actually, let me give you my story. Maggie and I came to the mountains in 1988. A lot of you in this room weren't even born yet. Some of you were already old back then, but most of you were not born yet, Jim. But anyway, Jim Underwood was old back then. I love him. He doesn't love me anymore, but I love him, so. And I was youth pastor when I first came up here at another church that is no longer there, and the building is. But I was youth pastor there, and so Maggie and I would go to this youth conference, and I really liked it. The reason I liked it is we got to stay in a hotel, and we didn't have TV, pumped in TV back then. We just had, we had no TV, and so we just watched stuff on VHS. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. But it was sort of fun for me to go to a hotel because I could sort of OD on TV and I'd take the little remote. It was really cool because we didn't have a remote back then. And I could just push buttons, you know, and watch the 100 stations that had nothing on them and just go through. But then I was watching it and Christian television came on. And I won't tell you a whole bunch of what I think about Christian television, except The Chosen is really good. Back then, it wasn't very good, to be honest. But they were interviewing this 11-year-old boy, so I stopped because I like children. I like youth. I invested my life into them. And I was listening to this little boy, and his name was Colin Ford, and he lived in Philadelphia. And he was telling his story. And Colin Ford, 11 years old, had a ministry to the homeless in Philadelphia. And this is where it got started. There was on TV, they were doing about the needs of the homeless in Philadelphia. So he watched it and he asked his dad, could you take me downtown? I want to see these homeless people downtown in Philadelphia. So his dad did. So they came home. After they came home, the next day, Colin took his little red wagon, went from neighborhood from house to house and asked for blankets and jackets. And by the time he got back, his dad got home from work. He goes, Dad, you got to go out in the garage and see what I have. And he had this pile of jackets and blankets and things to take down to them. So they did that. And that night he said, Dad, you got to take me down there. I want to hand them out to the people that are freezing down in downtown. So they did that. they came back. Then he got on the phone and started calling stores and said, you got to help these people downtown. The next day, his dad got home and he said, Dad, I got to go out in the garage. And trucks had been showing up to the house, dropping things off. From there, Colin Ford started a nonprofit organization called Colin Ford Ministries and started working with the homeless on the weekends. In fact, by the time he was 11 and a half, he had 2 15-passenger vans donated to him. He couldn't drive for another 5 years. But and it was taken off. And quite a few years, in 1988, Maggie and I took a team from the mountain to Philadelphia, and I wanted to go downtown. And sure enough, we saw Colin Ford and their ministry working with the homeless people there. But in this interview, someone says to the homeless people, they were interviewing, said, do you know this little boy? And they said, yes. Do you know his name? No, they said, we don't know his name. We just call him Jesus here. We just call him Jesus. This young boy made it evident who he served and whose child he was. How about you? Do your neighbors, the people you work with, do they call you Jesus? Do they call me Jesus? They should. Next, third point. Recognize that we're set apart and different. That we're set apart and different. I keep ripping your mic apart. It's okay. Just don't give our next month's support. You can buy a new mic. Verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward you get? And not even the tax collectors, don't they do that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are they doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do this? We need to be, again, reminded of this, that we're, first of all, that we're citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter says this, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul. We can't fit into the world. We're citizens of heaven. We need to recognize that we're different and set apart. This is a place that we're just visiting. We're just stepping through this place, and someday we'll be in heaven. That's really our home. The next one is that we are light in dark places. We are light in dark places. Ephesians 5:8 says this, for once you were in darkness, but now you're in light, in the light of the Lord. Live as children of the light. You live that way? Are you illuminating dark places when you're in the workplace, when you're at school, when you're in the grocery store, when that stuff is around? What do they see? Are they illuminated because of the way you live, the way I live? Third one is we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21 says this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sin against him. And he committed to us in this room, the ministry of reconciliation. For we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through you and me. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. We have the message of reconciliation. We have the good news, the gospel, each one of us in this room. And we are ambassadors of Christ. So we need to recognize that we are set apart and different because we're citizens of heaven. And we are light in dark places and that we are ambassadors of Christ. Jim Elliot said this, when it comes to dying, make sure all you have to do is die. You get that? When it comes to dying, make sure all you have to do is die. To live in such a way that there's no regrets, there's no, man, I wish I would have done that, I wish I would have lived a little differently, but all you got to do is die. About 7 years ago, I got to be in Ecuador, And I get to go to Ecuador pretty often because my son lives there. Was there, and we got to be in the jungle in a Quechuan church, and I got to preach at that church. And one of the elders of that church, who was about 80 years old at that time, he came up to me, and through a translator, he talked to me and said, you know, I was an eight-year-old little boy when Jim Elliot was here as the pastor of this church. He planted this church. And he goes, I got to run on the airstrip and wave goodbye to him the day that he left. Him and four other gentlemen went, who was Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Roger Yoderman, and Peter Fleming. They all flew off from that airstrip in front of that church to go take the gospel to the Alka Indians. And they were all martyred there. They were killed on that beach. And that was in 1956, almost 70 years ago. But you know what? All around the world, people are still talking about Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Peter Fleming, Ed McCauley, and Roger Yoderman. They made a difference. They recognized that they were set apart and different. They understood that they were citizens of heaven. They understood that they needed to be a light in dark places. And they understood they were ambassadors of Christ. Almost 70 years later, and they still talk about it. And I got to preach in that church. It was a highlight of my life to sit there and preach someplace that Jim Elliot preached. And still today, we remember those five because they lived set apart different. And the last one that I want to give you is this. Let's be the best representation of Christ that we can be. Let's be the best representation of Christ than we can be. Chapter 5, verse 8 says this, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. It means trust me. Trust me this way. Represent me this way. First of all, in our love for others. And we talked about that in Jim's class this morning. And you are missing it if you're not going to Jim's class as adults. Great word this morning, great teaching this morning. Be there. So you don't even have to pay me for that, but be there next Sunday. It's good. But if you pay me, I'd like it. So anyway, let's be the best representation of Christ we can be in our love for others. John 15:12 says this, my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. I really believe we can sort of boil everything down as Christians to say, love God, love people. Love God, love people. And the question is, are you loving God and are you loving people? Are you loving people in this room and are you loving people out on the street? It's important. And then we need to be our best representation of him in obedience to his word. And we talked a little bit about that earlier. And 2 John 1:6 says this, and this is love, that we walk in obedience in his commandments. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Are you obedient to his word? He speaks to us every day as we open it. Every day you come here and hear Pastor Mike, Pastor Jonathan, when they open God's word to you, are you obedient to it? Are you listening to it? Not just hearing, but listening, putting it into action. And then we need to be our best representation to him in what we live for. In what we live for. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. What are you living for? Can people tell what you're living for? As you're in the job place and you're in the market, you're at school, do they know what you're living for? Back in the beginning of the 19th century, there was a group of missionaries and they were called the one-way missionaries. The reason they were called one-way missionaries is that they packed everything they owned when they were getting ready to get in the ship. Back then, you didn't fly to the countries. You got in a ship to go to the countries. And they packed everything that they had in a casket. And the reason they did that, they wanted to make a statement that they were dying to the world behind them, either in Europe or in the Americas, and that if they come back, they come back in a casket. One-way missionaries. They'd pack it up and leave. And one of those missionaries was A.W. Milne. And he went to the island of New Hebrides, which is now called Vanuatu. And he went there. And all the missionaries that went before A.W. Milne to that village that he was going to, they were all beaten and eaten because they were cannibals. Everybody else that stepped into that village were beaten and eaten. And A.W. Milne said, "That's where I'm going." And people tried to get him not to go. "If you go, the cannibals will eat you." He said, "This is where I'm going. I'm packed. I don't care. I'm not coming back. I'm going to take the gospel to them." A.W. Milne lived there for 50 years. When he passed away after 50 years of being there, this is what they put on his tombstone. "When A.W. came, there was no light in this village. When A.W. left, there was no darkness." I would ask for you and me, what are people going to say about you and me when we pass on? So let's remember, don't listen to the world, but listen to his word. Let whose child you are be evident to all. Recognize that we're set apart and different. Let's be the best representation of Christ we can be. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thanks for the truth of it. Take it. Drill it deep within our hearts today. May we be different because we have met with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Eddie's not a long-winded preacher, is he? 30 minutes. My microphone.
You should applaud me for that. No, there I'm just joking.
We got a couple minutes for questions and answers, so we'll ask Jaden to be ready with his microphone. I'll ask the first question. You minister in Mexico? Uh-huh. Any cannibals there?
No, not lately.
Okay. you build little structures as part of your ministry for families. We went down once and helped. I was kind of surprised how small they are. What is the typical size of these little cabins?
We build 12 by 12s, and each family, if they build, we build one for them. Then they can come back and reapply, and then we can build a second one so they can get a 12 by 24 structure.
It's about the size of your bedroom. Yep. This is for a whole family. And these are plywood.
Plywood
structures. You can build that. You don't have to have any carpenter skills. You can take a group down, and Eddie and his ministry team will help them build some little structures. Who has a question for Eddie? He's one of our missionaries. We support at least 15% of all tithes and offerings that come in go to missions. So we support Eddie in Mexico and Somerville's and Johnson's in Guatemala, among others. So he's your team member. Who has a question for him? All right.
So where do the kids come from to help build these structures? Are they all over the United States?
All over the United States and Canada. In fact, right now we have 3 interns that are helping when groups come in, and we have one from Canada, one from Wisconsin, and one from Mexico. Actually, we have a young lady that grew up, she's bilingual. She's a Mexican young lady. So we have 3 of those interns. But then we have people from Canada and all over the U.S. from different churches that come. And if they come as interns, they come anywhere from 3 months to 15 months. But if they come in a group that comes down for the week, they come on a Sunday and they leave usually on Friday or Saturday. Or groups in California can come down for the weekend. And that's what your church did one time. They came on a Friday and stayed for the weekend and left on Sunday.
Great experience.
How challenging is raising funds to sustain your missionary?
For the ministry itself, COVID was pretty tough. Because if you don't have groups, the ministry, Mexico Caravan Ministries, actually lives off of groups coming in because they pay a little extra for the house and for housing, lodging at our dorms. And so that's what we live off of. So when we didn't have groups, we were about, it takes us about $4,000 a month just to keep our lights and gas on there. And so all of a sudden we had no groups, and but God was so faithful. Every month, at least $4,000 came in from churches all over the United States and kept us going. So, and right now, one of my new positions as the executive director is going to churches and see if they'll support Caravan monthly as a whole. And so as churches get on board with that, that would help us if something like COVID strikes again. And so that's one thing. Personally, for Maggie and I, we have been at it for 20 years and we live off of support. Churches like this and Church of the Woods, and we have churches in Washington and Michigan and in California, other places in California support us. But one thing, and then we have a lot of individuals and people, finances has changed. We've had a lot of people pass away. And so our support gets tagged a little bit. So we're in that process of trying to raise our support a little bit more. I hope that answers that. But
any other questions? Over here in the front, April.
I have to say, this isn't really a question, but it's something that the Lord's put on my heart the minute I walked in the building. And when I heard you preach, I think I would like to ask for prayer, or at least say what it is that the Lord's put on my heart. I'd really like to lift up the earthquake victims in Syria and Turkey. I know a lot of people say, I've read, you know, this is retribution for not being believers, for the things that they've done. You know, the white helmets are there helping. They're Muslims, and they're helping. And the Lord has told me this is an opportunity for Christians to go there and show our love and support for our fellow man. And I think that was the, you know, sort of the message that you were saying today, that it's easy to love those that love us back and that are like us. It's much more difficult to reach out and love those that are our enemies and have hurt us and maligned us. So I just think we need to realize that God is saying this is an opportunity.
I agree.
So if you can help with Doctors Without Borders or any Christian groups or anything that can, you know, provide some sort of assistance, you never know, that could be the one thing that brings someone to the Lord. So anyway, that's been very heavy on my heart, and I thank you for your message today. Because it just solidified what the Lord had already been saying. So anyway, that's it.
Well, let me close this off in prayer. Father, thank you for bringing Eddie to our group. Thank you for sending him from our mountain community, from this church. And I just pray that his ministry will flourish and his health will be renewed. As we know, he's got some health issues, and I pray that he'll become stronger and be able to finish strong. And Lord, provide what he needs, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Let me mention that we don't take an offering. We don't pass an offering bag around. We have one single box on the center post of the church where you can drop your offerings in. If you need a tax receipt, put it in an envelope with your name on it, and you'll get that. Otherwise, just drop a check or cash there. You can also mail your tithes. There's two places on the bulletin where there's an address. So you can find that, or you can go online and you can give. Let me make a couple more announcements. The missionary care training that's coming up Saturday, we do need you to RSVP. I put that in blue so you'd see it, because we need to know how many lunches to provide. We already have at least 20 signed up. What if 40 show up? We need to know that. The Johnson Family Farewell is a Sunday evening event, and there's going to be pasta. We need you to RSVP for that. We've already gotten so big that we're going to use the lodge for the meal and come back over here for the service. So that's next Sunday night. So next Saturday and Sunday, there's a lot going on. But RSVP. Finally, a quick Bible quiz. Are you ready? If you know the answer to this question, shout it out. Six questions. Which book of the Bible tells the story of the 12 spies?
No. Numbers.
What did you say?
Numbers.
Numbers. Numbers. All right. I thought you guys would know that. The 12 spies went into Canaan. Caleb and Joshua. Okay, which book tells the story of Moses striking the rock?
Numbers.
Which book of the Bible tells the story of the bronze serpent? Which book of the Bible tells the story of God enabling a donkey to speak?
Numbers.
Which book of the Bible will Pastor Mike be teaching about next Sunday?
Numbers.
All right, I'm doing a survey of numbers. So I'll be sharing some of these stories. Last question. Which book of the Bible will Twin Peaks Community Church be reading this coming week?
Numbers.
All right, we're on. Let's stand together.